Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum, dear believers. Welcome to It's All About Courtship and Marriage. We thank you for being here with us this evening. And we will go ahead and open up our program. As always, we open up with Al-Fatiha. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil alameen, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم Sirat al-Adina Ananta Alehim Ghairil Maqdubi Alehim Walabdaleen. Ameen. And in English, with the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Praise be to Allah, cherisher and sustainer of the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee that we worship and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, not of those whose portion is wrath, nor those who go astray. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. And I want to start off by welcoming our traveler back. I was very happy to see that hand go up. So we have our co-host, Sister Dina Muhammad Dia, back with us, safe and sound. And we extend to her the greetings of peace of Assalamu Alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Yes, safe and sound is the word. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Okay.
It's wonderful to travel. It's definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wonderful to travel. And I really didn't want to let the cat out of the bag before I left, but yes, I ended up going to Cuba. I mean, that's where the trip was planned, to go to Cuba. And it's a beautiful place. The people are beautiful. We had beautiful experiences where we stayed in an Airbnb. It was a beautiful flat on the third floor going up just totally marble stairs. Now, I'm not a person that's just like really geeked out about marble and all that stuff, but I have not been up a pair of marble stairs to go up three flights like that. I don't think ever. You know, I think I see things like that. Downtown Chicago, you go into some of these governmental buildings and things like that. You see things like that, but that's not what I was used to at all. So, it looks like the old world to the extent that they have so many buildings that they preserve, that people live there and they live there for generations and generations. And they keep them well-preserved, and they have modern facilities in them, so that was good. Some things are, you know, you miss not being in America, but, you know, you understand when folks have different things going on in their particular country, they might not have the best opportunities to have things like we have in the United States, and that's okay. So... The people were beautiful. I love the experience, and it's not a problem to go if anyone wants to go. I went with a beautiful travel agency, and I need to put that out. Shout out to Crown Royale Travel, and that is by way of Captain and Queen, who have a travel agency, and the same people I went to Egypt with. So they are great hosts. When it comes to traveling, they take care of you. They make sure you're taken care of, and you have no worries when you put yourselves in their hands.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Is there an Islamic presence in Cuba?
No. You don't see it.
Okay.
You might see people come there, and a very small number of Muslims come there. If you can tell by the women, how the women are dressed, very small number. I entertain looking to go to a masjid prior to, but all the things I read let me know that maybe not. Maybe I should just wait till I get much more information. Say my prayers at home.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Well, we are so happy that you had a great time and a great experience, and that you can come back and share with us. All praises due to Allah. We can live vicariously through you.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay. So last week, we'll do a quick recap. Of last week's show, we stayed on topic with the book that we've been presenting from. If you have been with us the past few weeks, we have been presenting from the book by Dan Griffin, written by a man for men, pertaining to relationships. And it's a man's way through learning to love and be loved and overcoming trauma and addiction. And in this book, he follows the 12 steps. And we have, during the course of the show, outlined the 12 steps that he has in his book. And also, Bina pulled up the 12 steps for the the Islamic program that has been very, very successful in helping people to overcome addiction. And what the author cites is that many times people fall into addiction trying to self-medicate because of what is known as small trauma. He's isolated two types of trauma, big trauma and small trauma. Big trauma is an incident that has a starting point and an end point, a big event, a big accident, or something very traumatic happens to you, loss of a loved one, or some type of violence. It's a start and an end point to that. So that's called a big event, a big trauma. But the more dangerous levels of trauma are the small traumas that happen consistently over long periods of time. And we take a note from that as African Americans for what we have gone through, which in our present-day society, many people are trying to minimalize, saying slavery has always existed, but chattel slavery has not always existed. So our experience is very different, very unique, and in addition to that, the ongoing oppression, even after slavery ended until this day, that we continue to go through, creates a small trauma that is consistent over a long period of time. So it's something that is constantly, a river constantly running through that we deal with, and it can affect us in different ways and even on a subconscious level. And in addition to that, trauma can be passed from one generation to the other. So this is what the book is outlining and talking about. And so I think that we have learned a lot going over this material. I know that I have. And I pray that the radio audience has been enlightened by it as well. So the author specifically talks about the man rules and how men are taught from being young boys all the way up through on things that they should not do, and how these specific rules inhibit proper growth and development for men to really enjoy and have healthy relationships. Okay, because of this type of indoctrination. And so what we've looked at is the contrast between what boys are taught and the example of our Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and how he was not confined to 5, 6, 7, 8 rules on manhood, but he had a wide range of characteristics and character traits that led him to this day to be the most influential human being that has ever lived, okay, human being, male human being that has ever lived. He's the most impactful, most influential human being that has ever lived. And we look at his examples and draw a contrast to how, to the Western thinking of what manhood is. And it's been very revealing indeed. And one thing in specific that we did look at last week is sometimes, in addition to specific rules that boys are taught, there are also cultural cues that are adapted throughout our culture and throughout street rules as well, and a way of thinking that we can adapt that is really not healthy for us, that can really fall in line with us as African Americans being more divided. And last week we went over one particular idea or saying. Now, we all know that during the time of Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that women were elevated in society and given positions that they had not held in that society. And many of those positions were those of educators, becoming educated in the religion. They were elevated in Islamic knowledge and Islamic manners, and even put into positions of diplomacy where they were diplomats to other areas. Also mothers of the faithful, where they would teach, okay? So, and we know how important education is, for us as Muslims, because we're taught to learn from the cradle to the grave, and that education is a blessing. It's a blessing, and it helps elevate the person who receives the education and those that they share that education with. So education is truly a blessing. But one thing that can be a source of division for us as African American, specifically when is looked at that African-American women are getting education, getting these levels of education at a higher rate than the men are. Well, to that I say, well, alhamdulillah, that falls in line with Allah's plan. That falls in line with Allah's plan. This is what happened during the time of Prophet Muhammad. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The women became educated, and the men went into business because they had to establish business because they could no longer operate under a system grounded in paganism. So they had to establish new businesses and a new economic system for zakat to flourish and to thrive. So this is the building of the Islamic society. And we see more and more of our young men going into business, and women too, but more and more young men are going into business. So I see this in the plan of Allah. So when someone says, oh, the white man let black women or African-American women get educated, we say, astaghfirullah, this is the plan of Allah. Allah allowed them to become educated, to help the race, to help uplift the children, to educate the children and those around them. So we see the plan of Allah in this, and we don't give credit to any man for it. So this is one thing that we talked about last week, that sometimes it's very important for us to put things in an Islamic context, in an Islamic framework, that any good that comes to us is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from no other place other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this keeps us from being divided. So we did talk about that at length last week as well. So what we want to do this week, we want to begin to narrow this down and wrap up this topic and get to the conclusion of it as to, you know, we've looked at this from many different angles, and where do we go now? What do we do now? How is this resolved? How do we heal? How do we establish ourselves in a way to recognize trauma and to overcome it? What are the solutions? So this is what we want to start out with this evening, and inshallah we can get to the end of it, but if not, we won't rush it, and we always have next week to conclude. But this is where we want to start with this week. So we're going to, it's 20 minutes after, we're going to do our housekeeping and play our public service announcements. And when we come back, we will get started with Chapter 5. Chapter 5. And Chapter 5 is, let's see, get my reading helpers, Creating Healthy Relationships. Creating Healthy Relationships, Chapter 5. So that's the starting point for us for the book this evening. And we'll get started with that right after these public service announcements. So we're going to ask you to stick and stay with us, and we'll be right back. And you're listening live to It's All About Courtship and Marriage. I'm your host, Sister Munira Habil Uma, and our co-host is Sister Bina Muhammad Bia. And you're on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. And we'll be right back with you.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dabrita Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage. And I'm your host, Manera Habil, and our co-host is with us back from her world travels, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia. And we thank you all for tuning in and being with us this evening. And we look forward to your wisdom, any wisdom that you share and your insight on the topics that we are presenting this evening. So just as a refresher to reconnect the dots, you know, I've been saying that I wanted to find more man rules. I found a few more, and we want to share those. So the author, Dan Griffin, is stating that these rules that indoctrinate boys to a certain way of thinking of what manhood is about really are rules that are adversarial when it comes to having a healthy relationship. Okay? And he listed five rules in his book, but we have a few more, and so we'll read all of them. These man rules come from the same author. I found some more of his content. Dr. Dan Griffin found some more of his content online. And these man rules state, always be in control. Always be in control. Don't show emotion. Don't ask for help. Don't be vulnerable. Be a sexual superman. Always be right. Always win. Don't trust anyone. Don't show weakness. Be stoic and cool. Don't care about relationships. And don't cry. Now, these rules have shaped a lot of young boys throughout the years. And in searching, and I see a lot of new material that is really countering these man rules, and that's a great thing, all right? But I think that through social sciences and psychology and just living and counseling, a lot of men have come to the conclusion that these rules did not serve them well. And they did not serve them well for these reasons, because listening to these man rules is the total opposite of the rule that you need to have a healthy relationship. So in this diagram, you know, always be in control. Well, in a healthy relationship, you have to, in a healthy relationship, you have to let go of control. You can't always be in control in a healthy relationship because there is more than one person in the relationship. So there's someone else in the relationship, so they have a stake in it and a say in it. So it's impossible for you to always be in control if it's a healthy relationship. Okay. The second one, don't show emotion. In a healthy relationship, you share feelings. You share thoughts and feelings. A man rule, don't ask for help. In a healthy relationship, you're going to ask for help. You're going to ask for help, or you should ask for help in a healthy relationship, because your life is partnered with someone else's life, and you're sharing a life together that requires communication and dialogue and mutual help. So you're going to ask for help in a healthy relationship. Don't be vulnerable, a man rule. In a healthy relationship, there is vulnerability. There is vulnerability. Be a sexual superman, a man rule. In a healthy relationship, there's intimacy. Always be right. A man rule. In a healthy relationship, there's honesty. There's honesty. No one's always right. Man rule, always win. Well, in a healthy relationship, there's compromise. There is compromise. Man rule, don't trust anyone. In a healthy relationship, there is trust. Without trust, there is no relationship. Without trust, there is no love. You know, some of these things are foundational to even loving. So going from learning not to trust anyone to having to trust in a healthy relationship. Man rule, don't show weakness. Well, in a healthy relationship, there's safety. There is safety in a healthy relationship. So that rule is tossed out the window as well. And man rule, be stoic and cool. You know, stoic, unassuming, cool, unbothered. Well, in a healthy relationship, there is communication. There's communication. So you can see how many or all of these rules in this particular chart work against or rules that are not needed in a healthy relationship. In a healthy relationship. Now, we have relationships where these rules are dominating, but it's not a healthy relationship. All right. And then the last two outside of this chart, don't cry. Okay. Again, that comes in sharing feelings, being vulnerable, intimate, honest, you know, that. If you need to cry, you're a human being. Allah created tears, you know. You can be a human being inside this relationship and be intimacy and not ridiculed for it, okay? And then don't care about relationship was the other rule outside of that. Well, you can see that totally works against having a healthy relationship. So looking at this and looking at this and the trauma that it has really caused some men who now have to relearn what true manhood is has in itself caused a level of trauma, small trauma, throughout a long lifetime, a long period of time, that they are now working to overcome, working to overcome. So, let me go back to the studio. What I want to do now, I want to revisit the 12 steps of the Islamic, I don't know why I'm having difficulty pronouncing it, the Islamic 12 steps. We want to revisit those and see how these 12 steps help shape and frame relationship. How they help shape and frame a healthy relationship. So let's see. I can pull mine up. Bina, do you have yours up?
I'm pulling them up.
If not, okay. All right, well, I'll get started, and then you can come in and take over once you have yours up, okay? So, and this is Milati Islamia. Milati Islami, World Services. And number one of these 12-step rules is we admitted that we were neglectful of our higher selves, and that our lives have become unmanageable. And growing up under these 12 rules really would make you neglectful of your higher self. It takes you out of the character and out of the foundation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human being on. It puts you in a position of a grafted human being instead of a true human content that is nurtured and evolves over time. So number one is we admitted that we were neglectful of our higher selves and that our lives have become unmanageable. You have it, Bina? Okay, I'll
no,
keep going.
Not yet.
Okay. Number two, we came to believe that Allah could and would restore us to sanity. I'll read that again. We came to believe that Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, could and would restore us to sanity. Number three.
Yeah. I found them. If you need it, mm-hmm. you needed me to read them for you.
Yes, number three.
Number three, we made a decision to submit our will to the will of Allah. We made a decision to submit our will to the will of Allah. Number four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, we admitted to Allah and to ourselves the exact nature of our wrongs. Our wrongs, WRONGS. Number six, asking Allah for right guidance, we became willing and open for change, ready to have Allah remove our defects of character. Asking Allah for right guidance, we became willing and open for change, ready to have Allah remove our defects of character. Number seven, we humbly ask Allah to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, we made a list of persons we have harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, we made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, we continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, we sought through Salat and Iqra to improve our understanding of taqwa and ihsan. So Salat we know is prayer. Iqra, we mean reading and studying. And to improve our understanding of taqwa, which is God consciousness, the proper love and respect for Allah, and ihsan, which is, though we cannot see Allah, He does see us. And number 12, having increased our level of iman, or faith, and taqwa, God consciousness, as a result of applying these steps, we carried this message to humanity and began practicing these principles in all our affairs.
In all our affairs, alhamdulillah, yeah. Rabbil Alameen. What redemption, what redeeming steps these are, redeeming steps to take to get a life a heart, a mind, a soul back on track, back on the right track. And one thing that all of these steps, one thing vital to all of these steps is honesty. Honesty, truly looking within, seeing oneself, and taking stock, being honest with self, and knowing that there's redemption. Allah will redeem the human being, okay? Accepting that as a fact. And then taking those steps and bravely going forward with a whole new mindset and a whole new paradigm. You know, accepting the will of Allah, the plan of Allah, the way of Allah, accepting and submitting. A human being is able to overcome addiction and trauma by taking these steps. So let's see how this is tied in to the author's presentation on overcoming trauma. And how do you now begin to have healthy relationships? Well, one thing that is crucial in having a healthy relationship is to give. Once you have found a person that you are going to share your life with, that's going to be your wife or sister to be your husband, once you have taken that step, it's very important to let the process work. So that means that it's very important to be committed, to have commitment to the will, the plan, and the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, commitment to your true nature as a human being, and commitment to the relationship, which is a blessing. Okay? So the author talks about, in chapter 5, there's a child psychologist and a trauma expert, Dr. Bruce Perry. Okay, and I'm going to try and look at some of his material as well. But again, this doctor's name is Bruce Perry. And what he talks about is that our brains are all wired for connection and relationship. All of our brains are wired for connection and relationship. Our need for connection is rooted deep inside our DNA. So despite the negative stereotypes about men and even some of the behavior of men, the natural inclination is to connect. Men are not relational outsiders or aberrations that they are often made out to be. So the rules imply that it's unmanly to admit that we value our relationships and want to connect with others, or that, God forbid, we need others in our lives. And that's from the viewpoint of a man who's been indoctrinated by these man rules throughout a lifetime. Yet there is an incredibly rich and rapidly growing chorus of scientists, psychologists, quantum physicians, sociologists, and others who are finding irrefutable evidence for how human beings are intended to connect to one another. Yeah, so Allah is so merciful. You know, right there in our Holy Quran, Allah tells us that we form part of a community, all creatures of all creation form part of communities, that we are born into a community life. We are born with connection. Allah has pointed this out to man 1,450 years ago, that we are born with connection, that there's a need for connection. So relationships and good relationships are central to this 12-step process. You can't practice these things on your own. You have to be in a relationship with someone, relating to someone who's holding up a mirror for you and they and you for them, so we can see each other clearly and we see ourselves clearly, help nurture, foster growth and development in each other. This is life. This is relational. This is the relationships. Just as our parents nurtured us and taught us from an early age what to do, what not to do, good manners, respect, kindness, love through example, meeting our needs when we cried, fed us when we were hungry, being there for us. All relational activities, as we relate to each other, as we help each other in life, take care of each other. So the Western society puts things in social construction that lead us to think that we can do this by ourselves. So I don't need anybody in my life. I don't need a wife. I don't need a husband. You know, I don't need family. I don't want children. You know, you don't want these things that give you life and true development as a human being. You're making wrong thing seem fair seeming. Okay? So relationships are central to this whole process. One participant in his study stated that he learned in recovery how to make commitments and stick with them, although it's not always easy. I learned to hang in there through the rough times, to engage in problem solving, honest conversation, and conflict management. I have been able to remain in a 21-year marriage and have helped raise two children. Okay. Sticking with it, working through it, communicating, all a part of growth and development. And this is the work of marriage. This is the work of marriage. But doing it in the right, with the right disposition as someone who's recovering from all these grafted rules that you've been placed up under throughout life, and now coming into a new awareness, a new mindset, and able to live, follow these rules, and stay committed and do the work to have a successful relationship. Okay? And this is where a lot of the participants found true recovery. I'm just going to check the board real quick and see if we have anyone in the queue. And we do have a caller in the queue. So let's go to our caller. We're going to go to 347-336. Assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Wa alaikum assalam, Sister
Manera.
Yes. I'm just baffled. Not really baffled, but so impacted by the wisdom that you're sharing. You selected to share this evening. And it, for me, it represents clarity and understanding. It's unraveled what we may consider because of our inability to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's clarification in terms of redefinition and guidance.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, and I appreciate that from you. Definitely going to try to get a hold of this reference and read more. So what occurred to me, and that's what my question to you is about, you clarifying that the brain is by nature wired. We call it hardwired. For the connections that really cause us to survive.
Yes.
Right? And it reminded me of what Allah says that is an indicator that someone, when you feel that attraction, then Allah owns that. He says, I am the one. He is the one who puts the gravity of love and mercy or affection between your heart. That's that attraction that we feel. And I notice in society there's a lot of confusion caused by how society interprets or recommends that you respond to that attraction. And actually for me, and is this clear, is this what I should be thinking, that attraction is actually the indicator from Allah that this is an outcome that should be pursued, explored, I'll use that word, and that courtship period that we initially experienced prior to marriage, that's the environment. Is that the environment where we should thoroughly explore all of the connections that we make? We might be like-minded. We might have the same kind of instincts or intuition about things. So could you clarify
that for me? Well, that is, Allah is the best knower, first and foremost. Allah is the best knower as far as, those attractions and how to proceed with them. But I will say this, sometimes we are attracted for different reasons. Sometimes we are attracted because a person is familiar to you because they may have characteristics that your father had, or they may have skills that your father had, or, reminds you of your father, and you might not even consciously process this, but a person can be familiar to you and there's an attraction because they remind you of someone else. And sometimes an Imam Fahim Shuaib said this, and I never forgot it, that the soul's intent and purpose is to return to its Lord, pleased and well-pleasing to his Lord. So sometimes, if you need to be broken down all the way and built back up, sometimes you can attract someone who will do that. If you're not following the dictates of your own soul and ignoring your soul in that way, sometimes you get some life lessons through an attraction that you are worth more, that you should, you know, really take time and choose wisely and choose the best for yourself, you know. So sometimes attractions can be that as well. But regardless of the attraction, the proper process should be followed. And that is for you not to act on the attraction, but to have a wali to investigate whether it is safe to proceed with this attraction. Because you're already attracted to a person, so you're going to go into it overlooking a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have someone with their feet on the ground, with a level head, vet the person on your behalf. Because the woman's urge is very strong when it comes to wanting to love and nurture. And we have to realize that. So we'll overlook a whole lot and say, oh, okay, yeah, I can work on that. I can fix that. Yeah, that'll be all right. This will be all right. You know, because we zero in on these few things about a person. Okay? But is that the life that person is living? Is that person living within those few things that you are attracted to? Or are they living a different paradigm? So this is why it's very important to follow a process, regardless of whether you're attracted to someone or not, to see if it's safe to proceed with an attraction. Person be committed to a relationship. Will they be steady? Okay. Do they have the taqwa? Do they have the ihsan that Sister Bina was just speaking about? You know, fearing Allah as if Allah is present. You know, are those qualities in place? You have to do your due diligence regardless whether you're attracted or not. So not to discount the attraction, but to still proceed in the right way, in the right manner. And it's very, very important to do that. And it will save you in the end, or it will fortify you and the relationship in the end, because you'll go into the relationship more relaxed and more confident that this person has been vetted and is safe to proceed. And you can really get off on a good start in the relationship. So attraction can be different things.
So Sister Munira, what I'm hearing you saying, and I want to make sure, is that the instating of someone who operates, would operate either as a wali or a nasiha, a sincere advisor, should really know you, the one who is interested. They should have had an ongoing relationship so that they have a pretty clear idea of who you are, have had conversations with you about the fulfillment of your needs. Is that what you're saying, that it's important?
Yes, it's very important, very important. And if it's a mother or a father, a sister or a brother that you've grown up with, that know you and your history, know the people in your history, that's an excellent wali for you, but if no one is available, whoever your wali is, they should know you or get to know you. And I have suggested in the past that if you get a wali, if it's a sister needing a wali, it would be great to have a couple as a wali, the husband and the wife, and go over that whole courtship and marriage questionnaire, and so they can and answer those questions so they can get to know you and everything, and also kind of know about your traumas and everything, and so they can understand the attraction. Understanding the attraction is key as well, because some attractions are just purely physical, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, and well, you just look at a person. Yeah, yeah. And so you have to understand the attraction and as well. So you, attraction is not is a strong emotional driving force, but we can't be driven by a strong emotional driving force on the path to Nika. It's a rational process. You know, that will come. If it's a safe to go, that's a good thing that can, you know. But if it's not, then those things have to be reined in, and you have to, you know, put the brakes on those things. So a level head, wisdom is what it takes. And I'll share this with you. When I was I was about to get married previously, years and years and years ago, and they came down to meet my mother, and my mother sitting at the dining room table just talking and drinking coffee and everything, and this person's just talking, and she said she had me go out in the garage and look for something. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't there. She just wanted me to go outside, and she came out and she said, you marrying your daddy. She said, you are marrying your daddy. She said, that man in there is your daddy, you know? And I was like, oh, my goodness, Ma, what are you talking about? You know, she said, I'm telling you, you're marrying your daddy. Did I listen? No, I did not. And she was totally right. Turned out totally, totally right. She called it. Okay? Mm-hmm. So having someone with some wisdom that can see these things is very important. But as the person, we have to be willing to listen to the wali. Now, and I often wonder what my life could have been or would have been like, but I stopped doing that because, you know, you have children and everything, and you say, well, alhamdulillah, you know, good came out of it anyway. But have a wali that you will listen to as your sincere advisor. And if you are overrun by these strong emotions, it's going to be very hard for you to listen, which is why back in the day, men would not even let you talk to their daughters until they screened you first. Don't get in her ear, you know, for those strong emotions to develop, you know. And he would say yes or no on the onset. And, you know, still some women found a way to get around that and get married anyway, but, you know, it paid the cost for it as well. But having, being able to listen to a wali and know that is sincere, good advice.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. you know, those emotions are not run away and you can make a rational decision. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's very important.
I agree. Very good information. Very, very good information. And I especially agree in terms of those emotions, having those emotions before you have someone who can guide you on that journey. You need that mm-hmm. person to be there beforehand, before those emotions develop, because emotions are strong. I mean, those are the things that Allah put in us to bring us together for that connection. It's that glue. So, yeah, before the glue sets and gets hard, yeah, it's definitely advisable to have a Wali. And it doesn't matter what age you're at. It doesn't, because we can see some things and we can look through the eyes of our past as opposed to looking to what's right in front of us. So that was excellent advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You remind me, and quickly I'll share this and then I'll be done. You remind me of an experience I had as a middle school child. We used to walk home from school, right? And there was a boy mm-hmm. who lived in the next block. So we had the same pathway to walk home, you know. We knew we were friends at school and that kind of thing. I didn't have any interest in him, right? But he was mm-hmm. just one of the youth that we socialized with on the street in our neighborhood. And it was a good neighborhood, predominantly two-parent families. So things were still kind of out of control. I mean, under control, as opposed to mm-hmm. what happened later. But I remember my father used to get home just about the time he used to get home from work, just about the time we were walking home from school. So one day, walking down the street, we're just talking and laughing and, you know, just socializing. And my father was standing in the driveway. And when we got to the driveway, of course, that I was going to peel off and go into my house. And the young man was going to keep going. But my father, when I got there, he pointedly asked me, he said, could you go into the house, right, and mm-hmm. close the door? So I did. You know, we hear and we obey. That's the kind of upbringing that I had. I was curious, but it wasn't the time for me, nor would I have thought of asking, well, why, right? So I obeyed, mm-hmm. and I saw, but I looked out the front window. And I could see my father standing there talking to the young man, right? Mm-hmm. And the more he talked to the young man, you could see the anxiety in the young man increase. You could see by the look on his face that my father was mm-hmm. saying something serious to him. And he finished, and then he pointed the young man to continue down the street and go on home. So I knew it was serious. So when my father came in, you know, I was so curious, and we could ask questions. And I asked him, I said, what's the matter, Daddy? What were you sharing with him? And he said, I'm going to talk with your mother about it. He said, but I want to make sure that he understood he's not to walk you home.
Mm.
And he said, and I don't want you walking home with him every day. Is that clear? You know, when our parents put that mm-hmm. caveat at the end of a phrase, what it means. Did you get the message, Mahasin?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And of course I did. Mm-hmm. There was no resistance whatsoever. And I knew that whatever the situation, I couldn't walk friendships. I couldn't let that boy accompany me home every day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so when he talked to my mother, she then went deeper into it for me. Says, your father could see certain things in the facial, the body language, the facial expression as you all neared the house. And that's what promoted him to have a discussion with the young man. And
yeah.
I never had to worry about that young man anymore. He obeyed my father, and inshallah, I was saved. So it really, people who know you, quote unquote,
yes,
better than you know yourself, are invaluable because we have the instincts to become attached. And that's what has
yeah.
to be monitored. I'll stop right
yeah,
there.
And people, yes, and people that can read other people through because of their wisdom in life is invaluable as well. So it's very important, and we have to be able to honor that. So praise be to Allah. So I hope that what we shared was helpful.
Period. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. All right. Well, thank you for calling in, and thank you for sharing and bringing this topic out. We appreciate it. All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. And just to preface also that being like my father was not the worst thing in the world, but then you have to know that if a person is living in their best character and striving to live in their best character, or if they're not. Someone who's not striving to live in their best character and to recover and to get past trauma can make a life hard for you. You know, even if they are a good person, life can be made harder. You know, so someone striving, you know, we get what we strive for, right? So striving to be a better human being, living in the good character, getting past trauma to improve. This is what we are about as believers. That a Muslim is one who leaves a situation better than they found it, you know? So we strive to improve. That's what these 12 steps are about. That's what this progression is in life. That's what it's all about. So you have to be able to see whether a person is living and striving to live in their best character, whether they're going to take shortcuts, you know? And so this is where the wali comes in. This is where the wali comes in. So attraction is... can be a good thing, but we have to understand attraction. And attraction is a flickering flame that can burn you. So you have to understand it and have someone investigate it as well. And we had a hand raised and it went away. So caller, okay. So let's get
if
back.
I can just say one thing.
Yes, go right ahead.
Where some powerful information has been shared. Just a reminder too that the wali is a human being, and
mm-hmm.
they can see a lot, but they're not perfect. You know,
right.
they can have our best interests, and it could be that the person that they're interviewing is clever
mm-hmm.
and knows to put that best foot forward, even with the wali.
Yeah.
If something doesn't turn out down the road, we can't blame our wali. That's not something to be blamed if the relationship does not work out. But if what we want to do with the wali is to get someone who we trust will be honest with us as
mm-hmm.
much as their ability, you know, because they're only human as well. And we have to know that a person, even when we choose, we do choose, a person can be one way when we meet them, but they could grow, and they're steadily growing. And depending on their experiences and their exposures, it might take them in a different direction. It's a possibility, because Shaitan is powerful, even to the strongest of wills, you know. So unless that person is making their jinn a Muslim, they're going to be those trials. They're trials for all of us in those relationships. So, it's a challenge.
Yes.
All the way. It's a challenge either way. So just know that the safe way is to have someone in your favor that is looking out for you with that information. And then even after they give you the information, it's still up to you to decide whether you want to deal with that or not. And that could be a choice that you make, you know. And there was something else I said. I lost my thought that quickly. I just lost my train of thought.
Join the club. Yeah. Yeah, I'm having these moments quite a bit. Yeah, but it's important to have a team. The sister talked about in her book, the marriage success team. You know, everybody won't see things from every angle, you know. You have your wali, but you have your sister. You have someone who can pay attention to how this person makes you feel, you know. You know, do you feel uplifted after being around this person, talking to this person? Do you feel encouraged? Someone who can keep an eye on the pulse, and male or female. You know, brothers need help with this as well, for someone to look out for them as well. It's not all one way. Because brothers can get carried away with these strong emotions for a woman as well, and not see things very clearly. And so it's very important for us to do our due diligence and try to make the best decision we can, get to know a person. And this is encouraging, because if my thinking is, if men become better communicators with men and really talk and get to know each other, then, you know, you'll get to know who you're sharing your ranks with, who's in your ranks with you as a brother, who's standing next to you in prayer, you know. You know, learn about him and their history and who they are and everything. And it really helps with the whole wali process when men know men and know men's history, know their talents, their skills, what they're looking for. You know, it really makes life much easier. Much easier than so when someone is not a stranger, you feel more confident. And say, well, I've known this person quite a while, and they've been consistent, and things of this nature, you know. And this is just good, sound practice for us as human beings to think and operate this way. Okay? If you have a business and you need a professional in your business, okay, you don't just hire anybody. You're going to vet them. You're going to get references. You're going to look at their skills. You're going to see if they're good for the job. You're going to look at their temperament. You're going to look at their work habits, or whether they're on time, and, you know, whether they're responsible. You can look at all these things to hire them in your company. Okay? Right. You're not just going to get a position to anybody. So more important is the human experience of two human beings coming together you know, we should do our due diligence and not rubber stamp people. Oh, this is a good sister. Oh, this is a good brother. You know, well, we need to get to know the sister or brother to, you know, to vet them, to know more about them and their history before you just rubber stamp people. And that's an honest investment in the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and the future children born into a relationship, you know, and the future children born into the Ummah. So it's we do our due diligence, inshallah.
Yeah. I remember what I was about to say. And when it came to, we still have to make our decisions after we get that information, how Sister Clara, may Allah be pleased with her, still chose to go with her husband, sneak out the window and go with him. And, you know, even though their situations were very, very tough for a long period of time, overall, it was a successful, it was a great relationship. It was a working relationship. They worked together and they raised some beautiful children, and they raised our dear Imam, W.D. Muhammad. And may Allah be pleased with him and all their 8 children who have been a great benefit to our community. So, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, so that's Allah directs your soul as well. So you listen to Allah directing your soul as well. So Allah probably had strong influence, more than likely strong influence on Sister Clara Muhammad. May Allah be pleased with her and reward her for the best of her deeds. You know, Allah guides us as well. So all of that is taken into consideration as well. So, alhamdulillah. All right. So, let's take a quick pause for the cause. We are overdue, actually. And we can get on back on our presentation for this evening. So, we're going to be right back with you after these public service announcements. So please stick and stay. We'll be right back.
This is Isaiah Abdushakur, now with the Islam's beliefs universal. Allah is the creator with no partners. Muslims have 99 popular attributes for Allah. What is Al-Islam? Al-Islam is the complete way of life that reflects submission to the will of God. Islam means submission, derived from the Arabic word meaning peace. Who is a Muslim? A Muslim is anyone who submits to the will of God. Everyone is born Muslim, and their environment makes them otherwise. How does one become a conscious Muslim? To become Muslim is to make a public declaration that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of God. This is called the Shahadatain. Who is Muhammad? Muhammad the Prophet was born in Mecca, the holiest city to Islam in Arabia, in the year 570 or in the 6th century. How many Muslims are there? Worldwide, there are just over 1 billion Muslims, or 1 out of every 5 people on earth is a Muslim. In the United States, there are approximately 8 million Muslims. 2.5 million are recognized as indigenous, with the remainder by the way of immigration. Aren't all Muslims Arabs? No. Most Muslims live east of Karachi. 30% of Muslims live in the Indian subcontinent, 20% in sub-Sahara Africa, 17% in Southeast Asia, 18% in the Arab world, 10% in the states of the former Soviet Union or Russia. There is a significant Muslim population in China, Latin America, and Australia. Aren't all Arabs Muslim? No.
Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. That song is a powerful song. Humanity is everybody's business is playing in the background of that PSA. Humanity is everybody's business. Being a wali and looking out for the best interest of your sister is everybody's business. Looking out for the best interest of your brother is everybody's business. This is how we improve. This is how we help heal our ummah, become stronger community, have a stronger community presence and community life by protecting this sacred environment that we live in. You know, so getting back to this presentation, the author says, think about a recovery meeting. Think about a recovery meeting and why it's such a powerful thing, because it's a place where people come and escape from their busy lives, where they're often disconnected from others, and have the chance to take off their mask and be real. It's an environment in which we are constantly learning how to have relationships, say one of the most destructive and baffling illnesses consist of people sitting around talking about who they really are and how they're really doing. This is the solution for it. People sitting around talking about who they really are and how they're really doing, you know, and that's why so many people continue to go to those meetings to get that support, you know. So, you know, just being able to sit down and say, well, look, I've been married a couple of times. It hasn't worked out so well, and I need to figure this out because I don't want a three-peat. I don't want this to happen a third time. So I need to figure this out. Help me figure out what's wrong here because, you know, I want to please my Lord. You know, help me solve this problem. And just being able to be that vulnerable with someone, you know, that's a sacred space. So the key is to stick to those 12 steps or to have knowledge of them, practice them, you know. Be honest with self. Be honest with yourself, you know. Turn matters over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no way in the world we can go back and retrace every small trauma that we've all been through. But we know we've had some trauma. So we turn that over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we make our salats. And the author has already pointed out that prayer restructures the neurons, restructures the brain neurons. So every time we make salat, there's an opportunity for a new connection, for new growth. And this is science in addition to the spiritual awakening and reawakening that takes place, okay? So practicing in an environment where you can practicing being human. And science, according to the author, has recently identified the chemical, and I'm going to spell this, it's oxytocin, oxytocin, if I'm pronouncing that right. It's a chemical released in the brain that produces a pleasurable feeling when we experiencing love, when we experience love, bonding, and connection. It reinforces the value of the connection and our need for it. It sounds like one of these drugs out here on the street that people are abusing. You know, but the brain, it's a chemical the brain automatically produces. You know, that's why when you're in love, the roses look redder, sky looks bluer, you know, you feel great, you enjoy life more, you walk a little lighter, you even look better when you're able to experience these blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is truly a blessing that puts us in a better frame of mind, a better disposition. You experience these things, and Allah naturally, there's a natural reward for it, even in the human body, even in the human body. So, again, the author stated in the chapter that covered that the DNA, we're hardwired for connection. The brain is full of connections. There's so many different connections even in the brain, and all the neurons running through the brain is all about connections and connecting so that information can flow through the brain. It's all about connection, even in its physical makeup. So, also, Dr. Bruce Perry is the psychologist that's specializing in trauma. He also talks about what has been happening to the quality of our relationships and our brains over the last 200 years as technology has moved us toward greater isolation and disconnection. And I can definitely believe that after going through the COVID isolation and working from home and not being around people, it does have an effect. It does have an effect. And, you know, I'm so thankful to Allah that we had all of the Zoom meetings and Juma on Zoom. I can go to Juma all around the country on Zoom and see believers, you know, that I haven't seen in years in the audience. And, you know, we found a way to stay connected during that process. So we thank Allah for that. And prayer really helped tremendously. And being more connected in our Holy Quran and our and reading also helped. But for those who didn't have that, it took a toll on a lot of people. Right. So being committed to a relationship and continuing to practice the 12 steps, continuing to be honest with yourself, continuing to know that you're overcoming some trauma, you know, all of these things keep you focused on the goal, which is a successful relationship. Okay, so this is intentionally walking and working towards a successful relationship and not settling into trauma and making trauma a way of life, but intentionally doing the work to overcome it by living in this honesty and working to establish yourself in this new paradigm, inshallah, is how we work towards having a healthy relationship. So, and it's very important to do the work because as this author points out that there's so much self-help banter out in the media and society as a whole, and it's led a lot of us to believe that if we can spout this stuff, it means we are living it. not the case. There's always a danger in the recovery community if you are not living what you say you are about. You have to live the 12 steps. We have to live the 12 steps. We have to live it. We can't recite it. We can't just know it. It requires action. It requires us to do it, be about it, and do the work, knowing that we are overcoming this process so we can return to Allah as He created us, our true human selves and our true human makeup, our true human disposition, you know, not a traumatized person. So it requires us to do the work. And sometimes we self-sabotage. Sometimes, oh, this is going too good. This is going too good. Before you know it, you self-sabotage the success. Don't do that. You know, enjoy the success. Everyone deserves to succeed, you know. So don't self-sabotage. Continue to stay focused. Keep the goal in front of us and continue to do the work, and be very mindful of things that become common catchphrases that really turn us away from this goal. Some of these common catchphrases are, oh, for women, oh, I don't need a man. Well, yes, you do. You know? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't need to be married. So what, you just want to be used? No, you need to be married. You know, you're just working against your old soul. These common catchphrases out in society, they sound good, they sound powerful, but they are actually very destructive to you and society to even think that way, you know. And brothers, you know, the white man is not responsible for any elevation of anyone in our race. So never give him credit for your African American woman being elevated. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to share with you, to share with you. You know, we have to be mindful of these catchphrases that cause divisiveness and for us to turn away from each other instead of to each other, you know. See Allah's plan in everything that is good that comes our way. Allah's plan is in there. It is Allah's plan there. So we have to be mindful of those things as well. Okay. So it's work, but it's good work that helps us to build healthy relationships. We get stronger, we get better, and we improve in each step we take in this process because it's what Allah wants for us, right? This is what marriage, this is a part of the marriage process. For true human beings to develop in the right way, recognizing that this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. So.
Right, and I was thinking, Sister Munira, I know you got the list of, the list for those who are looking to get married. I'm sorry, I forgot
the premarital questionnaire.
The premarital questionnaire. That might be something that you need, that you could add to that when it speaks to trauma. It might be a little something, as much as you've delved into the subject.
Yes.
If it wasn't a part of it, that might be something that could be added to it, just learning along the way.
Yes.
The things that would help, and things that if they were talked about or seen
beforehand would have helped. But I think that's definitely one.
Okay.
And as far as this, I'd like to give credit to the Miladi Islami World Services. Mm-hmm. They have a website, MiladiIslami.org, and a person mm-hmm. could go there, and if they wanted to donate, if they wanted to help out, they could go there. I've felt inclined to donate, because just listening to the 12 steps and how they've worded them has brought, an inspiration, and it's brought enlightenment and shown me that, that I'm walking in the right path. It's like that the things that it's suggesting that we do, not only for addiction or recovery, mm-hmm. but just as being better Muslims. And it just the word I want to say is, no, I wouldn't say cosign, but it's just spoken to me and said that, these are the things. When we make our du'as to be better, these are some mm-hmm. of the things that can be included in our du'as, especially when it comes to if we've done anything to hurt someone else or whatever, to mm-hmm. speak to them. And if that's only going to bring a problem, don't even go there. So we would do that in our hearts, as opposed to changing it with our mouths or our hands. We would change it in our hearts, or work towards mm-hmm. it, or make that dua in our hearts. So just the 12 steps have just been comforting, I would say, for me to hear that. And if it's been that way for anyone else, I would suggest going there and taking a look at them and seeing if that's something that can be incorporated in your life, because it's they're coming from the Quran and pleasing Allah. So that's what I think goodness should be supported in any way. And it's still an organization that's alive and well, even as of, I see that they had, they elected a new board of directors, they say, as of April of 2023 this year. So it's an organization that's still alive and thriving.
Mm-hmm.
And thriving.
Yes, alhamdulillah.
So, if that would be a help to someone, that would be wonderful. It would definitely a help to me.
I echo the same sentiments, because in seeing what causes trauma, I can look at those 12 steps and see exactly how this will undo trauma.
mm-hmm.
how it's a process for healing. Regardless of what you're
Absolutely.
Healing from, it's a process. So, and we need processes. We need processes in place. Communities, businesses, corporations, families, all have processes. We all have processes, and this is a good process for healing that would be beneficial to all of us. So I definitely agree with all of the sentiments that you just spoke.
Yes. All people, not just Muslims, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all people. Yes.
All people. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're just going to recap. So again, what are the qualities of a healthy relationship? And they are as follows. Intimacy. Being able to be intimate, honesty, being able to be vulnerable, trust, partnership, sharing emotions, thoughts and emotions. You can say thoughts, emotions, goals, knowledge, compromise, and healthy conflict. All traits and characteristics of a good relationship. And these are things that should be present in the courtship process. If you're courting someone, you should have a healthy dose of all of these characteristics operating in the relationship. Intimacy, honesty, vulnerability, trust, partnership, sharing, thoughts, emotions, goals, education, compromise, healthy conflict. You see nothing destructive in that list, all constructive in the building process.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes, alhamdulillah. So at the end of chapter 5, in the into action, it says, talk to your partner about your relationship and ask them on a scale of 1 to 10 how well you are doing. Ask specifically, what are the 3 best things you are doing? What are the 3 things you could improve on?
Excuse me, Sister Namanira?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I've been informed that we have a lot of people in the queue.
Okay, I've been on the book and not in the queue. Thank you. Thank
okay.
you. Let's get to the callers. Okay. All right, let's get to the callers who haven't spoken yet. We're going to go first to 267-258. Assalamu alaikum to you and welcome to the show.
Assalamualaikum, assalam, my dear beloved sisters. This is Rahima from Philadelphia.
Wow,
I'm just definitely enjoying just listening, and you sparked my interest even more when you talked about that. It's just powerful, the 12 steps. I love how you're addressing 12 steps, and mm-hmm. and it's just so powerful because, and even talking about Wali's and how important it is for sisters to open up the door for their intended spouse or someone they're considering to be approached by. Like with me, it was like he said, "How many Wali's do you have?" And because they were all coming at him, you know. When he said, "Who you get?" You think about marrying who? Let me see this guy, you know. And it was like the whole masjid, and they just really, they embraced him though. But he knew, mm-hmm. and not only my masjid, but it was like when we went to another masjid, he like, wait a minute. And brothers would walk up to him and say, we understand that you're thinking about marrying our sister, and we just want you to know, brother, you know. He's real. Mm-hmm. He's a real deal. Mm-hmm. We don't want no situation. And it was really so mm-hmm. intimidating to him. And so he was like, but he was strong. And that's what mm-hmm. really made me appreciate him even more, because he took the weight. He took the mm-hmm. weight, and he didn't buckle. He didn't buckle. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, he ain't buckling to this. That's pretty good
yeah.
because they weren't lightweight. They were heavy.
Yeah.
It was like, and mm-hmm. so I think that's what community needs, women need to understand, that mm-hmm. you can't do nothing in secret. It's not a secret
right.
situation. You know, when mm-hmm. you're first meeting someone, you need to let your family see them, meet them. You need to let your community see them and meet them and make sure that his behavior is that even in front of them, you're watching, you're studying. Mm-hmm. You're observing, mm-hmm. you know, and that's very important in the beginning and even to today, going into our third year. You know, praise be to Allah, but, you mm-hmm. know, it's just alhamdulillah that the beginning was a good beginning. And
yes.
he understood my position in Islam and that it was nothing lightweight to me. It was mm-hmm. heavy. And the pleasure to please Allah first and foremost was so important, and he mm-hmm. he understood that, and even to the point of letting them come over to your house. You know, in the first resurrection of our lives, we had that's one thing that I still stick close to is inviting couples to our home, and I really mm-hmm. it is so good. Let me tell you. to open up your doors and have a delicious meal for other couples to come and sit around and Alifat, just sit around and talk. And then you end up in the same room all together, and you learn how to listen to each other. And it's like, do you see how he said that to her, honey? You should say that to me. And then you see how sweet she sounds to him. You know, and it was just really beautiful. So we try to do that as much as possible because we know how good it is for the community life. And it really brings us together. Then we went out to a jazz show. It was like 9 couples. I got all the couples together. And we all went out to a jazz show. So those types, we have to have that type of support because marriage is just what it is. It's work. And if you have somebody to help you work on your job, it makes it easier. You know, so if you have some help, especially people that have experience around you, it makes it better. So that's the same thing with having qualified other people who want to make their marriage work but just need that support. Need support, just like the 12-step program. You need support. You can't do this by yourself.
No.
And if you think you can, you know, that's good, but... For real, it's more fun when you have other people doing it with you, the community. You know, we might wear, and to show you how the community watches, when we go to Masjid on Jummah, sometimes we wear the same colors. And do you know the community watches? They say, oh, y'all think y'all all that. Y'all think y'all, you know, y'all got the same colors today.
Yeah.
You know, but just to show you they're watching.
Yeah.
And
well, thank you so much, Rahima. I got a few callers in. I got a few callers in the queue. We want to get through. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah. All right. 727-741. Your mic is open. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Vanira and Bina. Alhamdulillah. Thank you all so very much. Now, as you were speaking, and greetings of peace to everyone, as you were speaking, let me slow my thinking down. Okay. How do we get to, when a person asks, how many times have you been married? And right off the bat, you know, if that's a first question or a second question, and you say 3 times. And then you want to go into details, but you don't know how to go, because then they're assuming that, okay, well, what happened that you had 3 marriages? And I don't know the time and place when you're supposed to share that, okay, the first time was, you know, there was a drug addiction in the process and we had to separate. And the second time, the person went off to school and didn't come back. Third time, the person transitioned. Mm-hmm. You know, so, yes, I've been married 3 times, but and even the first 2 times were very short periods because of what happened. How do you take that? It becomes like a blemish almost. And I love it when you did say that, you know, a couple should sit and help with the questions, because when you're doing the questions one-on-one with each other, then there are some things that may, you know, advice can come from the walis, the husband and wife that's helping with that process. So I'll stop right there. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Yes. Well, don't think of it as a blemish. It's been a life's journey. You have a journey in life, and you've arrived at this point. And this has been your journey. And
if that person sees a problem with that, then that's not your person.
That's not your person.
That's not your person, and it's okay.
Yeah. If they're coming to you, talking to you in that way to ask you something that will discount you, you know, then how committed are they? If that's their number one line of questioning, you know. So you have to even decide whether or not you want to answer that. You know, it could be like, well, it sounds like it's going to be a problem for you if I say more than once, and just feel them out, you know, mm-hmm. and see if that is the case. So sometimes you don't ever have to put yourself in a bad light or worry about someone seeing you in a bad light. Your life's journey has been your life's journey. And in each relationship, we come out of it with some type of blessing. Allah is generous that way. So, you know, don't discount yourself or it's their loss.
Yes, that's something that you can let your Wali know, to tell that person so that they would be at ease. They won't have to ask those questions. Any questions I would say that you might feel uneasy with, I would just give those to the Wali to explain to the person or talk to that person about, so that you don't feel that discomfort. And then that's a way of vetting. Is that the person for you or not? And then you're
you won't even have to go through that. Yes. So alhamdulillah. All right. We have
another caller.
Yeah, you're welcome. Alhamdulillah. Let's see. We're going to go to 773-449. Assalamu alaikum to you and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Amira from Chicago.
Walaikum assalam.
You and Sister Dina are doing such a great job. This conversation is so informative and so rich. I tell you, it almost brought tears to my eyes because, you know, a lot of times you fit yourself in scenarios when you talk about being true to yourself. And then you ask the question, you may ask the question, where did I go wrong? It's because sometimes what you don't know, you don't know. And if you did, it would make a difference. And some of the things that you were saying tonight, it was just hitting home. And I have to say, to the law of Rabbi Alameen, you know, because when you know better, you do better. At least you're supposed to. And what I want to say, I really love Sister Rahima's comments, too. But I want to know from Sister Dina if she would give that information on that organization she spoke of. And also I would like to know the name of that book that you're reading from, Sister Munir.
Okay, yes. We'll be happy to share that information.
The website for Miladi Islami is M-I-L-L-A-T-I Islami, I-S-L-A-M-I .org. So that's MiladiIslami.org.
Okay.
And that's where you can go and get all the information on them.
I appreciate that. And Sister Munir, that the name of that book, and also if you can put a link in, because I came in a little late. I definitely need to hear this again because it was so resonating with my soul.
Okay. Yes, sure. I could do that for you. And this, the author is Dan Griffin, G-R-I-F-F-I-N, and is the book is titled A Man's Way Through Relationships. Learning to Love and Be Loved. A Man's Way Through Relationships, Learning to Love and Be Loved.
Okay. Oh, boy, he should have put man and woman, because there's so much to say in that relationship. Okay, so
yes. Yes, it's the human being.
I'm sorry. A Man's Way Through Relationships. And what was the other part?
Learning to Love and Be Loved.
Learning. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. May Allah continue to bless both of you all with success.
May you
all
on your own.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Okay. And we're going to go into our grace period this evening. We're going back to our caller, 347-336. Welcome back to the show. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, alhamdulillah. This amazing program, Sister Munira and Sister Bina, the both of you have been such a wonderful guidepost. I'm saying that personally because I'm always, the more I learn, the more interested I become in the dynamic. And the one thing that that's one of the many takeaways I have for tonight, is what you expressed in detailing the 12 steps and that they represent a process for healing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how I translated that was operational procedures for advancement. And I looked up the definitions because oxytocin is something that doctors use when mothers are going through delivery, labor and delivery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's a natural hormone that the body makes, oxytocin,
mm-hmm.
right? But there's mm-hmm. another one, oxycontin, that is actually a opioid narcotic. And
mm-hmm.
this accelerated really high because it was offered by the big pharma to people, and people got addicted to it often. But oxytocin stimulates, it says, the attachment, they call it the happy hormone that is naturally produced in the body. And it's triggered by your number one 12 step, which you detailed as intimacy. And so that produced an aha moment for me, because as we go through the Islamic procedures, the intimacy, we have to be careful that that's not a first resort as we respond to that attraction, the emotion that we don't come into physical contact, because that natural hormone is the hormone that stimulates affection and bonding.
Mm-hmm.
So what you were saying before, earlier in the program, becomes even more important for us. And thank you for sharing the title and the authors of those books. It stimulates us to do more research. And as a sister, Amira said, it resonates. This program really resonated tonight. Alhamdulillah, thank you.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, thank you. All right. And Bina, thank you for alerting us that we had callers in the queue. We've heard from all the callers. And all praises to Allah.
A little birdie told me.
But thank the little birdie for us, too. Yeah, so we're going to begin to wrap up. So be sure to listen to this program tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning, every Wednesday right
Join
here
us
on
live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. So we did not wrap up this evening, but no, we won't fret about that. Inshallah, we will be right back here next Tuesday, and we'll continue with this presentation and at the pace and the direction that it takes. We'll be patient, and may Allah bring His will for this conversation to the radio audience, and may we all heal and become better each and every day. So thank you for being with us this evening.
Ameen.
Okay. Ameen. Anything we said that was good and beneficial is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any mistakes are totally our own. All right, so keep us in your dua. So we're going to let Brother Wali Ali take us out with Fearing Thee.
Born to win. wind that bound, fearing thee, is what made him brave enough to go out and face the world. A country man he came up from the rear, made his home on the sweet earth down here. Loved him deep, made him love enough to go out and face the world. Making a life believe,
loving
a creature of fear, performing dry tears,
fearing
loving thee, made him love enough to go out and face the world.
Go out and face the world.
Sweet talk deceived him. Her brought him to thee. Never count him out. Faith went over down. Poor lost sinners, poor squires are winning. Fearing thee, what made him brave enough to go out.
Loving thee,
loving thee, made him brave enough to go out.
Fearing thee,
what made him brave enough to go out and face the world?
Brave enough to face the world.
A country man did, came up from the rear,
loving,
made his home on the sweet earth down here.
Fearing,
never caught him up. Things went over down. Firmly, maybe they make it in like
calling on to
making a life for thee. Oh, yeah.
Love enough to face the world.
Countryman dear, came up from the rear,
loving,
made his home on the sweet earth down here. What made him love enough to go out and face the world?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. We fear Allah in all things, and in all things we fear displeasing Allah. So come back with us here next week on It's All About Courtship and Marriage. I'm your host, Munira Habil, and co-host, Sister Bina Muhammad Pia. And we'll embark on this journey again. And bring a friend with you next week if possible. Okay, we'd love to hear from you on the show. So until then, we both leave you with the greetings of peace of Assalamu Alaikum.
Assalamu Alaikum.